It's your boy, Uncle C. And I want to welcome you to the first official episode of the Misunderstood Mind podcast. This is a lovely brainchild from your favorite uncle. And initially, this episode was going to be focused on the direction for the podcast, and then the second episode would be what would dive into like my main like topic of like discussion, like the first thing I really wanted to talk about. But if you know me, you know me very well, you know I have my own struggles with a little thing called laziness. So I got very lazy, I got very stressed at work, and I kind of put this on the shelf for a long time. But due to the critical nature of what I wanted to talk about, which by now you can tell from the title of the episode, I decided, you know what, let me do the Uncle C thing. Let me kill two birds with one stone, because laziness gives birth to some form of efficiency in my life. So I'll give you an extended but compressed version of both episodes as the new pilot. Yeah, I know that's a bit of an oxymoron. How can it be extended and compressed? But extended because the first episode will now be longer than I had planned it to be. But then it's still compressed because I'm compressing two episodes into one. So we have a compressed version of the original first episode. We have a compressed version of the original second episode. And I'm putting them together as the new first episode, because I don't think I have the strength to record two episodes in 1 week. So, because this year we have 13 candidates for the election, I would want to spend more time speaking on each candidate, which take a very long time. So, the details about the podcast, that side, I would make it very, like, extremely short. Maybe in 5 minutes, I'll try and give, like, the key highlights of what I think is important for people to know and to understand about what I'm doing here. So, why did I start this podcast is, in 2014, I think, I started writing as a way of helping me express my thoughts. And to be honest, my wrist is tired. Like, I'm tired of writing. That's one. And I also feel like this is a better alternative to achieve the same end goal, because I feel like when I speak it's more natural and it's more expressive than when I write. Because when I write, I have the opportunity to keep editing what I'm thinking before I put it on paper. But when I speak, I basically speak off the top of my head, and it's mostly the unfiltered version of what I want to say. So I feel like I would be more honest and authentic through speaking. That's why I decided that, you know what, I should just start a podcast just for the sake of it, so that I can air my views on whatever it is I want to air my views on. And yes, so what will be the subject matter of the podcast? It will be anything and everything I feel like I want to talk about. It can be anything from politics to religion to nightlife to girls to friendships to love to hatred to parenthood to marriage, anything and everything, to even sports, man. So anything, everything that comes into my mind, comes into my heart to speak about, I will speak about it. So there's no like singular point of direction for what I will speak on. Then who is the target audience? I feel like everybody is a target audience. Not everybody, anybody is a target audience, irrespective of gender, race, age. Okay, for age, I'll probably say maybe PG-13 because I do be saying some crazy stuff sometimes. And I will try my best to take out anything that is not age appropriate, but I don't know. I feel like some of my jokes may indirectly be inappropriate for children, so maybe not every age per se, but yeah, basically anyone. But you just have to be a person who isn't close-minded or and who isn't judgmental. And also, if you hate Christians, you probably shouldn't listen to me because a lot of the way I think is shaped by Christianity because I'm a Christian. Most of it, there are a lot of things I say which are also a bit controversial from the Christian point of view because I still like to think for myself sometimes. And then there are gray areas that I usually question, but yeah. And the lovely song that played at the beginning is a song titled Misunderstood by Lerase. And before you even speak, yes, I do have his permission. I asked him directly for his permission to use it, and he granted me his permission. He sent me the audio file. So it's a very lovely song. The very first time I heard this song, I fell in love with the song because I related to almost everything that was being sung, and it really touched me. So when I thought about doing the podcast, I felt like that was a song that adequately represents what I was going to do. So it's Misunderstood by Lerase. Lerase is Lerase, and he's available on all the streaming platforms. So you should check him out. Check out this song, the full song, and you can check out all his other songs as well. I personally like his music, so you might too. Now, why did I choose the name The Misunderstood Mind? One, so that I could use the theme song, it would make sense to use the theme song Misunderstood. So Misunderstood influenced the name. But two, I feel like the misunderstood mind is how I feel about myself for the most part. And I feel like it gives a concise description of who I think I am or the position I think I'm in. And this journey in trying to understand the things that are seen as normal, because I think I usually veer from what is seen as normal. And so yeah, I do feel like I am extremely misunderstood for the most part. I could be controversial too, and I am heavily opinionated, but I don't think I'm an extremely controversial person. I just think I misunderstand what is normal around me, and as such, it makes me feel misunderstood generally. So this is like a TED talk, yeah. So I think you guys just have to take me as I am. So the next thing that I'll be addressing is a question of how often I'll be releasing episodes. And I think the best I can do is like 10 to 14 days. I can't lie and say I'll do every week. I think it's too much for me to say, oh, I will actually do like every week. I don't think I can do every week. But I think 10 to 14 days to me is very reasonable. I think that I can probably stick to. I just pray to God for discipline. I just pray to God for discipline. Hopefully I can get it done. Yes. So the people I streak with, you guys always know that you guys I rock with you, right? You guys I streak with on Snapchat because I always ask you guys a lot of random questions, and then I also voice out a lot of random opinions to you guys. And I love all of you who actually interact with me. So we're gonna keep it going. We're gonna keep it going. You know, we're not changing. We're not changing anything. We're not changing anything. All right, you guys are going to be with me throughout this whole process. Thank you in advance. And I think the last thing, yes, the last thing that I want to address is if I'm saying a story Or I feel like I want to use a story in the podcast. That isn't my story to tell. Like, it's a story of a friend or an external person that isn't really directed to me. That is not already public knowledge. I'll ask that person for permission. So let's say something happened to my guy. I feel like I'm talking about a topic that relates to. I'll speak to my guy and be like, oh, I don't use your story for my podcast as an example. You'd be cool with that. If he says yeah, I'm like, okay, can I use your name? If he says no, yes or no, yeah. So that I'll ask permission for. Cool. But on the flip side, if it's my own story, but you happen to be like a part of that story, guy, I'm not coming to ask you for permission. I don't need to tell you, oh, I'm coming to say this story, but it involves you. So, like, yeah. No, I just won't mention your name. That's the level of respect I can give you. Because I don't think you should be able to prevent me from saying my side of the story, especially if I'm not going to slander you directly in any way or form or shape. If you want to say your side of the story, guy, you can go to your own platforms or your own medium, and then you can do your thing, right? So I would not necessarily ask you for permission. There may be situations where I would just inform you that, oh, I said A, B, C, and D. So yeah, you know, it might be obviously it will be you, like it will be obvious to see that it's you. So like, yeah, I'm just telling you for courtesy's sake, but I'm not asking for permission. You can say your own side of the story. That one is cool with me. Like, it's between you and your God. That has nothing to do with me. And also, if I say a story and you want to assume it's you or you want to assume it's somebody, your assumption key you there. That has nothing to do with me. You get? So I will not be responsible for your assumptions. Even if they are correct assumptions, I'm not responsible for your assumptions. So don't try to stress me with, oh, that's not cool. Like, no, don't. Let's not do that. Let's not go down that path. Wait. You dig? So yeah, we should be cool. We should be cool. And yeah, I just want to mention, I've been trying to order a microphone to use for the podcast. So I don't know what the sound will turn out to be, but I hope it will be good enough. At least till I'm able to get the podcast. Sorry, until I'm able to get the microphone down for the podcast. And I don't know when that will be. I'm hoping it will be this year. Yeah, I've placed the order and everything. I'm just waiting for it to be delivered. And then I will switch to that. But if I say I'll wait for the microphone, bro, like I will never start this day. Then the longer it takes for me to start, the less likely it will be that I'll even start. So I'm just going with what I have. So like just bear with me a bit. All right. Concisely, I think this is what I would give for now. If there are any specific questions you can ask me later. I don't think you need any more information about the podcast. So now we can just dive right in to the 2024 general election. I will try my best to give as much love to all the 13 candidates as I possibly can, but that's a tall tale and that's a tall ask. But I will do my best. So before I delve into the right. So I did mention that there are 13. I think I made a mistake. So before I continue, I want to say RIP to Ekiorokou, who would have been one of the 13 people I'd have been speaking on. But since her demise, that means now we are left with 12 people to speak on, not 13. So that was the first mistake I made. And I was speaking on the candidates by category. So I put them in four different categories. So the first category is the category of the unknowns. I'm calling them the unknowns because I don't think I have much information about them or much of an idea about them as individuals or as an individual representing a particular party. So those are the unknowns. Then we have the OGs. These are the guys who I've seen them stand for elections a couple of times, so I'm fairly familiar with either their face, their party or their general message to Ghanaians. The third category is the duopoly, which is, well, NPP and NDC. I don't think I'll touch much on their campaign promises because I know They are like everywhere, so you probably know a lot of their campaign promises, even more than I probably do. But I will speak on them to an extent. And the final category is the which is my favorite category, is the people I like to call the swingers. I call them the swingers because I feel like they are in a unique position to essentially swing votes from their duopoly. Do I think they can swing enough votes to cause an upset? No. Do I think they can swing enough votes to even cause a runoff? I don't really think so. But I feel like they can swing enough votes that it could put hope in certain people that we can actually break away from the duopoly if a third party comes along and actually does a lot of groundwork and can convince us to like move away from the duopoly, which I'm praying that at some point this country will break away from the duopoly, even though I know it might be an almost impossible task, but that is my hope that at some point we can break away from the duopoly. The first category I'm going to dive into is the category of the unknowns. I just want to reiterate the fact that the unknowns are people I personally do not know much about. Me personally. So I might put somebody in the unknowns that you're familiar with, and I might omit somebody from the unknowns that you're unfamiliar with, but this is about how I see them. All right. And also, if you think it's just going to be all the independent candidates, you would be very wrong. Extremely wrong. So the first person in the unknowns category is number six, represented the National Democratic Party, Mohamed Frimpong. And we have number 10, Kofi Kranting, who is an independent candidate, and number 11, John Thum Barima Edu, who is also an independent candidate. So I do know the National Democratic Party. I believe that's Nana Akunedo Ajuman Rawlings' party. However, I'm unfamiliar with the person representing them. And to be honest, I don't really know much about the party itself. That's why I put them at the unknown category. And I think their past results, they were 10th of 12th once, and then they were 6th of 7th another time. So they haven't been last before, which is I guess is great for them. But they have also been losing votes, like the number of votes, I mean. So that also isn't the best for them. However, I will mention that I do admire that one of their main campaign focuses is to focus on grassroots governance. So essentially, they want to focus a lot of decision making at the grassroots level, things like unit committees, at the assembly level, those kind of things. So I think that that's a more inclusive way of making decisions. So I really do respect that, and that's like the one thing that I've seen about them that really resonates with me. Next, we have Mr. Kofi Kranting, who I think tried to stand in 2016, but he was disqualified. And I haven't really found much in terms of a manifesto for him. However, what I gather from his website is that he basically stands firmly against the duopoly. He believes MPP and NDC are basically the same, and they are self-serving as opposed to serving the nation. So he believes that we should free ourselves from corrupt and enslaving governments. And he basically stands for a change and breaking away from the duopoly. So for that, he has my respect because I do believe in the same thing. I do really believe in the same thing. So if you believe that's your guy, he has a website. If you Google him, you will be able to find his website. I think it's kofikranting.com, so you can check him out. Last but not the least, we have for the unknowns, Mr. John Thum Barima Edu, whose primary focus seems to be surrounded on our laws. So basically ensuring the enforcement of existing laws, passing new laws where necessary, and then tightening any loopholes that exist in existing laws. also repealing laws that he feels are like outdated. And he also is preaching some level of inclusiveness where he's propounding a new development framework which will involve the public, private, and traditional sectors. So he's also looking at being inclusive. And one thing that really stuck out for me is that his approach to the Galamsey fight is not to streamline Galamsey, but is to provide alternate livelihoods for the youth that engaged in Galamsey, which I tip my hat off to him because that's one of the things I was really looking out to hear from who anybody's standing, is that the whole idea of streamlining it is not really working. But if you do provide alternative sources of income for them, then you can actually make some headway in the fight for Galamsey. And another very interesting thing that he did mention is that he would one of the alternative livelihoods you'll be looking to provide is a legal industrial hemp industry. And now I know a lot of people will be excited about that. A legal industrial hemp industry. So if you resonate with whatever I've said about Mr. John Chumberima Edu, you can change your vote, you can switch your vote. And he also has a website. So I know if I'm sure if you Google search his name, you'll be able to find his website. There's a lot more information on his website, so you guys can check him out. And well, that wraps it up for the category of the unknowns. And we'll move up a step to speak on the OGs. The first of the OGs is Daniel Augustus Lartey of the Great Consolidated People's Party, GCPP. And his primary focus is using modern technology to boost agric. So basically, they're going to leverage on modern technology to boost the agriculture sector. So basically, improve agric practices with the mindset of improving the socioeconomic development of the country. There are other things they're preaching. So, you can look up the GCPP manifesto and then you can read further. The next of the OGs is Mr. Kofi Akpaloo of the Liberal Party of Ghana. I think he initially formed the Independent People's Party in 2011, but then he dissolved that. I'm not quite sure why. And then he created the Liberal Party of Ghana. Now, he, I know, is very vexed with the whole duopoly structure, and he is very focused on trying to break the two. And from what I found out, his primary focus is job and wealth creation. He's also looking at free university education, child and unemployment benefits for the citizens. He's looking at improving healthcare service delivery and setting up a $10 billion job fund to support the youth to set up their own like enterprises and stuff. The only thing I don't really understand from what he said is he wants to regularize small-scale mining. Personally, I don't understand what people mean by regularized small-scale mining. But I'm sure there's some way he's explained it better, so you can look further into that. If he aligns with your vision for the country, you can give him your vote. The third, I think, of the OGs is the Convention People's Party, Nkrumah's people, and they are led this time by Nana Akosua Frimpong Mah Nkrumah. And I know they were previously represented by Mr. Ivor Greenstreet, so this she could have fallen under the unknowns. But I mean, CPP, CPP, they've been in power before, so I think it would be very disrespectful for me to put them on the unknowns because I do know a lot about them and their vision because they are basically trying to revive Kwame Nkrumah's vision for the country, as we call them, the Nkrumahists. So, what they are propounding this time is they are focusing on industrialization, women empowerment, and they are looking to improve national resilience, which is basically reduce our reliance on foreign aid and also don't increase accessibility to governance. But the one thing that I've heard Nana Akosua Frimpong Mah Nkrumah speak on That really moved me personally is that she plans to give all citizens aged 18 and above 20,000 cedis. There's a video online where she properly explains it. So you should probably look for that video to get a full understanding. But she did say they will give every Ghanaian aged 18 and above, even if you are 120 years old, 20,000 Ghana cedis. She's not bribing you for a vote, but if anything I've said resonates with you and you're a strong Nkrumahist yourself and you believe in the vision of the late great Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, then you can give your vote to the CPP. And I think the last we have for the OGs is Mr. Hassan Abdullahi Ayariga of the All People's Congress APC. I think they were eighth in 2020. Yeah, I think he was eighth, so that's not so bad. And he is focused on youth empowerment and creating sustainable jobs. And there's one thing I did find out that really baffles me is apparently he plans to prohibit Forex Bureau transactions for wait, Forex Bureau dollar transactions. I don't know how that'll work, but I think where he's coming from is probably it's from a good place. And also prohibits the pricing of goods and services in dollars. This I think already exists. I may be wrong. But if it does exist, then maybe it's more of an enforcement thing. But if it does not specifically or directly exist, then I personally think that this is like a very good thing. Even though I don't know, a part of me does think it exists, but I could be wrong. But yeah, that basically rounds up the OGs. But before I continue, I do want to say once again special shouts to Kyo Nkor of the Ghana Freedom Party. And she was an individual who always brought smiles to my face. May her soul continue to rest in perfect peace. So now that we're done with the OGs, I'm hoping we can briefly speak on the great duopoly of the MPP and the NDC. And well, as you know, the country's basically been hopping back and forth between MPP and NDC since as far back as 1992. That's way before I was born. I know there are some of you who were there for it, but like, I'm sorry, grandpas and grandmas. Some of us are too young to remember that. But we go through the cycle where each government comes and blames its inefficiencies on the previous government. So MPP comes, they blame all their inefficiencies on the past NDC government. Then we vote them out. Then NDC comes back, and the NDC blames all their inefficiencies on the last MPP government. And it's basically going on and on. Every 8 years, well, except for Mahama, who did only 4 years. Do not forget that. They've just been bouncing back and forth between the two parties for the past 32 years. Wait, is it 32 years? My math may be wrong. I actually just guessed, but 1992 till 2024 sounds like this. Basically, it feels like either of the duopoly, they just lay wait for like 8 years to come back and, you know, just keep doing the same thing. And I feel like something must give. Something must give, you know. And I don't mean breaking the eight. That I don't forget that thing respectfully. But now we're in a very unique position where we have the MPP being represented by Bawumia and the NDC is represented by Mahama. And these are people that we've both seen to some extent in government, with Bawumia being a vice president and Mahama has been a vice president and a president in his own stead. And let me start with Bawumia. Okay. So basically right now Bawumia is disassociating himself from everything bad that the previous government has done. But in the same vein, he's taking credit for everything good that the government has done. It feels like gaslighting. Or I don't know, maybe it feels like he doesn't see us as very intelligent people because I don't see how that works. Because even recently, he was at the commissioning for the e-gates at the airport. But if he's always disassociating himself from this government, then why are you commissioning stuff, sir? But you see, I mean, I'm even happy the gates didn't open. Like, I'm very happy the gates didn't open. I'm sure it sounds cynical, but I'm very happy the gates didn't open because that's like a proper representation of how things did not really work in the past 4 years. Can't come in the car brains with E gates and E everything. Come on, man. But having said that, I will also mention that there is a reason Muhammad also did just one term because things were also bad under Muhammad. Were they as bad as the past 4 years? No, not at all. Not even close. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like there's a reason. There's a reason. There was a reason for that. Like a reason. I don't know the reason, but like there was a reason for that. So one thing I generally don't like about both parties is that they both seem clearly self-seeking. I feel like they're mostly interested in party agenda as opposed to, you know, pushing like the Ghana agenda. Like each one is focused on either breaking the eight or preventing the other party from breaking the eight. And it's not as if I'm saying they don't have like good messages that they sell. You know, no, I don't want to say so. Like good messages that they sell. I'm tired. Because Mahama, right, he's primary focus is the 24-hour economy, and Bawumia is still on his, you know, his digitalization tangent. But the thing is, even though I don't want to like delve into the specifics, because I know we all hear everything that they are preaching. We all have friends who are diehard supporters who are flooding us with information about the duopoly. So I'm not even going to go into details about the duopoly. It's easily accessible everywhere. But they always have good messages. They always have good campaign manifestos and campaign messages. But the reality almost never matches the promises. Almost never. They do whatever they want, and then at the last minute, you know, they'll be scurrying to finish up their promises and all that. But I don't know. I don't know. Is it possible to break the duopoly? I don't think this year is possible. But I feel like we need like a third presence, like an actual presence that can put the duopoly under pressure, like some fear of, oh, we can actually lose an election. Like, you know, the way Nigeria had a Peter Obi, like people knew something like a Peter Obi that can actually like put pressure on the duopoly. And I know the diehard supporters of the duopoly will make it very difficult, but it will take a lot of groundwork and a lot of financial support from big wigs to be able to get somebody who can put pressure on the duopoly. Will it happen this year? Once again, I don't think so, but I feel like groundwork can begin where we can put ourselves in that position where somebody can actually put pressure on the duopoly. Otherwise, guys, it would just be more of the same. More of the same every 8 years, every four, like it would just be more of the same. But anyway, I think that's it for me on the duopoly. Let's move on to my favorite group, which is the swingers, the people I'm hoping can siphon votes from the duopoly. And I've put three people in this category. We have Christian Kwabena Andrews of the Ghana Union Movement. We have Nana Kwame Bediako, aka Cheddar, aka Freedom Jacob Caesar of the New Force, and Alan Kodjo Tremanting of the Movement for Change, aka Alan Cash. So, you know, I'll start with Christian Kwabena Andrews of GUM. So, in the 2020 elections, he actually ended up third behind the duopoly. And he got 105,000 plus votes, which is less than 1% of the votes. And he was third. So, you can imagine what the rest got, first of all. And also shows the gap between the duopoly and the rest. Because I think the duopoly were in millions. And the person who was dead was 105,000. But I feel like for a first time person, because I think his party was formed in 2019. So I think it's a decent showing. And Mr. Andrews calls himself the new Nkrumah. And I don't know how CPP faithful feel about it. But yeah, that's what he calls himself. And a little I know about his campaign messages is that is also focused on industrialization, and he wants to reform the educational system to be more focused on TVET, which is technical and vocational education and training. He also plans to give monthly allowances to individuals aged 60 and above. And the term I don't like, he also plans to streamline small-scale mining. He has other campaign messages, but you can look further into that. And I feel like if he can capitalize on whatever he was doing the last time, he can get more votes. That's why I put him in the Swingers. Because I think 105,000 votes is considerable for someone who is not in the duopoly. And I think if he can put more pressure and do more of what he did the last time, he can still get more votes and then, growth. There'll be growth. Plus, he's a pastor and he would also appeal to one of Ghanaian's greatest motivations when it comes to decision making, which is their religion, and in this case, specifically Christianity. So he also has that going for him. Even though when it comes to election time, the diehardness of the Ghanaians towards their duopoly is very, very high. I do think religion is another thing that will easily sways or easily affects the decisions of Ghanaians. So kudos to him, and I hope he does better this year. So the second is Nana Kwame Bediako, aka Cheddar, aka Freedom Jacob Caesar, who is not only known as a politician but an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, an industrialist. He's also an entertainment guru, all the other accolades that he has. So he has a manifesto that is based on 12 pillars, and I don't think I can delve into all the 12 pillars, but they are readily available online. So I'll just speak on the few that I really had interest in, and then you can, if it piques your interest, you can look out for the rest. So the first one, which is the most important one for me, is that he plans to have an apostolic government. I'm not very sure what apostolic government means, but there will be just 12 ministers, which is something I really like, because right now we have way too many ministers. There's nothing like specialization. It's just a lot of redundancy. There's some things, so many ministries that can be put into one, and then they'll have departments, but they don't all have to be individual ministries. So he's looking at 12 ministries. So we'll have a minister of finance, a minister of trade, minister of education, minister of foreign affairs, minister of interior, minister of sports and development, sorry, sports and business development, minister of health, minister of justice, minister of energy, minister of business and employment, minister of defense, and the minister of tourism. Personally, I really like this one. And he also plans to raise $50 billion by monetizing Ghanaian citizenship. Now, this is something I know other countries do, where you quote unquote invest into their economy and then they give you citizenship as a result. Usually, those countries, their passport gives you visas, free entry to a lot of other countries, so it's advantageous for an individual to make such an investment. And it's not like small money, it's like some countries like $150,000 and like plus plus plus. So yeah, so he plans to raise $50 billion by monetizing our citizenship. I don't really see how it'll be advantageous, but I'm sure he has a plan. So I'm also interested in seeing how that could go. He also wants us to print our own currency, which I think will save us money, I guess. Yes. And then he would also want to focus on industrialization. Yeah, industrialization, I got that right, which is industrialization and education. So he wants to reform the curriculum to leverage skills that will turn students into entrepreneurs as opposed to job seekers, which I think is also a noble thing to try and do. And he appeals to the youth, I guess. That's why I have him as a swinger. I feel like he appeals to a lot of the youth. Also, a lot of people who have a lot of disdain towards the duopoly are also leaning towards giving him their votes. And there are also people who believe, because he's already rich and established, he wouldn't have to come and steal our money. So on and so forth. Like, there are so many other reasons, but I feel like he has also put himself in a position where he can get votes off of the duopoly, right? So that's why I also have him as a swinger. So the last of the swingers is Mr. Alan John Kojo-Chermating of the Movement for Change. So as we all know, he was with the NPP since I think 1992 maybe. I know he was there from the start. And he threatened to leave them in 2008 when they backed Nana Addo as the flag bearer over him. But some way, somehow he stayed. Then in the recent, in preparation for the 2024 election, they picked Bawumia over him, and then he threatened to leave him, but this time he actually left. 2008, he actually had a lot of buzz. You know, Alan Cash was all over the place. So if he had started work from then, he would have been in a much better position to make some noise now. That being said, I still included him in the swingers category because, look, he's ex-MPP. I know he'll still have some people who still believe in the vision that he had. You know, jobs for the people, cash for the people. I know that people will still resonate with that. And I know there will be some MPP faithful that would probably still back him. So I believe he can take some votes from the MPP specifically. So that's why I have him in the swingers category. I don't think he's my favorite candidate, but I will respect that he's somebody who garners a lot of respect in the country. And I'm sure he could pull some numbers from the duopoly. So he has his great transformational plan, which has 10 or more pillars. I can't really go through all the pillars, but a few things that really stuck out to me was he's going to focus on digital mainstreaming, which is basically him mainstreaming digitalization in all the government and public sector activities. So he's also going on a digitalization tangent. He's also looking to expand health infrastructure and services. He's also looking to review, you know, our educational system, particularly the free SHS program. So, you know, he's trying to make it a bit more efficient and effective. And then he also wants to encourage private sector investments in developing our tourism sector. So, you know, as with the rest, the other stuff, you know, they're readily available online, so you can look into them and then see what he has to offer. I mean, yeah, it's a great campaign promise. It all looks good. It all looks good. I'll give him that. So that's the final of the swingers, and I think that's the final person up for discussion, and that's Alan Cash. Yeah, so those are the 12 candidates that we have to consider for the 2024 election. And so, you know, you can now, guy. But I won't be at peace in my spirit if I try to be neutral and diplomatic. Look, see, let's call a spade, right? The last 4 years were horrible. If you were in the country or you know people who were in the country, you cannot with a clear conscience vote for the MPP. I'm very sorry. You can't with a clear conscience vote for Bawumia again. You can't vote for Bawumia because in as much as he wants to disassociate himself from everything that the government has done, he was the head, or he is the head of the Economic Management Committee, and all they did was mismanage everything. So guy, like, please do not let us go through 4 years of Bawumia. Like, I beg. And stopped all of them, paired him up with Napo. That's the guy who told us if we think there's doom, so we should go and draw up our own timetable instead of adequately addressing the right guy. Ladies and gentlemen, please, let's all be serious. Please, you cannot vote with a clear conscience vote for the MPP again. Like, haven't we suffered enough? Like, have we not suffered enough? Jesus Christ, please. I wanted to be neutral. I wanted to, but nah, like, my spirit is telling me like, nah, like, guys, please, I beg. I'm begging. There are 11 other people you can vote for. There are so many other options you can consider. Vote for somebody else, please. Don't let us go through 2025 worse than 2024, because I know whoever wins will blame this MPP government for what they've done. Yes, but Bawumia will do the same thing, and that will even be more insulting because he's part of the current government. So I beg, let's not do that. I beg. Goodness. Anyway, we vote very soon. Hopefully, I have the vim to post this before the election. If not, I'll just delete it. But I'm sure I'll post it. I'm not a little scaredy cat, and I'm not a B word. So I will leave you with this, that whether you believe in God, Allah, the ancestors, you believe in the universe, cosmic energies, or you even believe in the basic things like common sense and your guts, whatever your guiding moral compasses or whatever guides your morality or guides your decision making, I beg you, just go out and vote. Me, I'll sit in my old gray Corolla and I'll drive to my polling station. And when I get there, God tell me who to vote for. As of now, me, I don't know who I'm voting for, but let's go out and vote. Don't be one of the fake cool people who doesn't want to vote so that they can come and do I told you so for the next 4 years. Or don't feel like your vote doesn't matter because no matter what, it's all the same. Still, go and vote. Like, go and let your votes be counted. Because your vote matters. Every single vote matters. Don't. Yes, you may not feel like there's a good option right now, but when you stand behind the ballot paper, trust whichever guiding principle you use, whether it's God, Allah, or common sense, your gut, universe, cosmic energy, aura, whatever you read to make your, just go and stand behind the ballot paper. I promise you, you will see who to vote for. And if you go there and you don't see who to vote for, you can just fold it and put it back inside the ballot paper and tell them that you can't vote. I beg you, but let's all go out and vote. It is important. Thank you. So, thank you for riding with me in the first episode of the Misunderstood Mind Podcast. And I trust I'll see you again for the next episode. Peace out.
Them go criticize, them go analyze. If them make them fight, come on, teach other eye. Oh, see how many soldiers fall before we took off. Don't know how to give it up. I'd rather stay misunderstood.